I did that last night with a printer, actually. I had to get Tammy to come in. I thought I had a problem, and the only problem was I didn't plug in the cord. So, well, today we're going to talk about Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. This is one of my favorite, actually, scripture readings, and I like to compare them both because I think they pair beautifully. So we're going to start off with the Nicodemus passage, which is in John 3. Everybody have it? Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus that night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Now I'm going to do some of the reading from the Samaritan woman, which is in John 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answers, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring out of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman, I said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and it has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Then Jesus declared, I speak to you, or the woman says, I'm sorry, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to heap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Sure. So in these two readings, I think we can see a deep hunger that it's deep in everybody's heart, a deep craving for forgiveness and hope, a sense that our best days are not all behind us, that God has not given up on us, even if we have in some ways given up on ourselves. I believe that we all crave some token of God's presence in what often seems a God-forsaken world at times. And the story of the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob is such a token. I think it's familiar text and just as important in John's telling of his gospel as the story of Nicodemus. I think the two stories are a couplet, in fact, mirror images of each other. meant to be read side by side. It's almost impossible not to notice the similarities and differences between these two stories. So let's have a look at the list that I have constructed. So what we see here is Nicodemus, he's well known. He's one of the rulers of the Jews, was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And the Samaritan woman, she's anonymous. There's no name. We don't know who she is. Second one. He scrupulously keeps purity laws. We know that he's a Jewish rabbi and had taken a favorable position toward Jesus. She has no name. She didn't. The woman at the well was a Samaritan, part of a group that was hated by the Jewish community. And again, we see that she has no name. Permanently unclean, we can look at his comment about the five husbands and the person that she was with now, who she's not married to. He's a religious leader, as I've just mentioned. She is a religious outsider, even among the Samaritans. He is a great teacher of truth, and she believes Samaritan heresies as opposed to the Jewish teachings. He is a high government official, and she has no power. So really, where am I? Sorry. And as we said, Nicodemus, who was one of the rulers of the Jews, was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. We know that he's a rabbi, had taken a favorable position towards Jesus. And with this being said, it appears that he was not willing to jeopardize his position by making a firm public stand in regards to Jesus and his ministry. The Jews were probably still upset with Jesus for cleansing the temple, and it would not be politically seemly for a member of the Sanhedrin to be seen with this unpopular fellow Jesus. Okay, can I have the next one, please? So we see Nicodemus seeks out Jesus at night when no one can see him, and Jesus seeks her out at noon. He knows that Jesus is a teacher from God. All she knows is that Jesus is a Jewish man. Jesus does not fully reveal himself to him. Jesus teaches her clearly that he is the Messiah. Nicodemus, he doesn't understand the living water. She asked Jesus for the living water. We know that Nicodemus visited Jesus that night under darkness, in secret, but what we don't know is why. There are a number of different possibilities or theories, but we can't be certain of what the true reason was. Nicodemus politely calls Jesus a rabbi and acknowledges that the signs Jesus was doing in John 2:23 had convinced a number of others on the Sanhedrin Council that Jesus was indeed a teacher from God. Excuse me. But it also became a telling point as the Sanhedrin make a move against Jesus in the future. Now, after Nicodemus confirms that he and others believe Jesus has come from God, Jesus tells him in truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus grasps that Jesus is not talking about a second physical birth, but was not able to see the true implication, that Jesus was speaking of a spiritual rebirth. The idea of a spiritual rebirth is presented many times in the New Testament. Yet in speaking with Nicodemus, Jesus answers his question as to how a person can be reborn again. It takes two elements, being born of water and of the Spirit. Without a spiritual transformation, becoming someone different and new, a person cannot become a part of Jesus' kingdom. Jesus' statements indicate the absolute necessity that only by the combination of these two elements, which bring about a transformation to the believer, can a person enter Christ's kingdom. None are exempt from this charge, as we see in John 3:6. It makes it very clear that Jesus is not talking about a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. Where am I? And from the Samaritan woman, we see that Jesus came to her in the middle of the day at the well. And this was not typical time that women went to get water at the well. It was hot, and the working of bringing a large jug of water home in the heat of the day was not prudent. It was best to get it at the beginning of the day when it was cooler. We don't know exactly why this woman was at the well at this time of day. We can only surmise that it was because she was an outcast of her own community. So not only was she a Samaritan, the arch enemy of the Jewish people, but she was marginalized in her own community. And unlike Nicodemus, she had no shame about her situation. She was fully in the light of day with Jesus. Her life was in full view. And when Jesus told this woman her own story, she didn't seem embarrassed or upset about it at all. In fact, she saw this as a sign that Jesus saw deep inside her and understood her, just as she seemed to understand the living water that Jesus was offering. Can I have that next slide? Okay. So what we see in this case is that Nicodemus, he can't understand the living water of the whole part about being reborn. He just doesn't have the capacity at this point to understand it. And yet she leaves knowing who Jesus is. He hides his belief for a time. She tells her whole town about Jesus. Another interesting point is that Jesus did not reprimand her for her five husbands. He didn't tell her, go and sin no more. Jesus noticed her situation, one we don't really understand, and named it for her. She was so moved by Jesus, she went back to her hometown and told everyone about Jesus. And they came to see Jesus because this unnamed Samaritan outsider told them to. I found the story of the Samaritan woman truly inspiring. She had a long theological discourse with Jesus and was in that very moment transformed. And I believe this is one of the longest discourses in the Bible. This outsider who couldn't even go to the well in the early morning with the other women had a personal encounter with Jesus over living water. And she understood it. She understood it so fully that she convinced others of Jesus and who he is, meaning the Messiah. How was it that she could understand Jesus so easily? Meanwhile, in the dark of night, Nicodemus was really struggling to understand. This woman, her story exposed, seemed to experience liberation from all of her secrets, the secrets even we don't know or understand. And on the reverse side, Nicodemus doesn't reveal himself to Jesus, nor does Jesus ask anything about him. The woman at the well told everyone about Jesus, and the whole town came to know Jesus because of her. There is no record of Nicodemus spreading the word about his encounter with Jesus to anyone. I truly wish Nicodemus was a more gutsy, bolder type of guy, one who took less caution, was less fearful, less in the dark. I was frustrated that Nicodemus felt he had so much to lose that he couldn't be in the light with Jesus. I wished he could have had the faith to talk to Jesus in the light of day to expose his true self. So what have we learned? Well, I wish that all conversion could happen in one short transformative encounter like the Samaritan woman. But in reality, our transformation with Jesus happens differently, depending on where we are, what our life experiences are, and what we have to gain, or more importantly, what we have to lose. I believe the writer of John put these two stories side by side in the text, not so that we can pass judgment on them, but so that we can see the many ways we can come to Jesus. Sometimes our fear makes it difficult for us to do much more than sneak up to Jesus at night. Sometimes our lives have already been laid bare, put fully in the light, whether we like it or not. And meeting Jesus when our guard is down is easy. There is nothing to hide, no fear of judgment, no pretenses to maintain. But just like both of these stories, Jesus is there, sometimes with kindness, sometimes with admonishment. I believe that whether we are feeling fearful or wide open to Jesus, He is always there, ready to show us new life, ready to offer us living water, ready to engage with us where we are. Despite the culture of affirmation that characterizes our day, most people already know that they are flawed, that their lives are full of missed deeds and missed opportunities, that they have fallen short not only of the glory of God, but also of their own expectations. A sociologist of religion put it this way: everyone, believer and non-believer alike, believes in sin. Not everyone, however, believes in forgiveness. Jesus does. He looks at the woman at the well with compassion and says, in effect, you're a mess. She knows she's a mess. Everyone knows she's a mess. If Jesus couldn't see it, he would be the only one. But to be sure, Jesus sees. Jesus sees that we are a mess too. Not like her exactly, but like her in many ways. We need what only Jesus can provide: grace that does not ignore our sin, but is greater than our sin. Forgiveness that does not pretend what we have done or left undone is any different than what it is, sin. But he forgives us anyway. This is what Jesus means to the woman at the well: grace greater than her sin. This is why she feels liberated, saved, and so excited that she's compelled to share it, to tell someone. I think we all hunger for the presence of Jesus, not for false affirmation, but for proof of God's presence in our lives: forgiveness and hope, bread and wine, and the water of life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, let us, as the Samaritan woman, be open to your word, to your teachings. Show us that even in our vulnerability and fear, Jesus is with us, no matter what, showing us the path of his righteousness and mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.